Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Buckhead, Atlanta, it's time for Simply Buckhead Radio with your host, publisher, and founder, Joanne Hayes.
Well, good afternoon. It is Tuesday afternoon, and Buckhead has some snow on the ground, which I can't complain about. My family's all in New England, and they're buried, and roofs are collapsing everywhere. So we're very happy to be here today, even though it's a little bit cooler. How are you today, Ryan?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me in the studio again today. And you're right. It's a little wintry mix out there, but I don't think there's nothing Atlanta's can't handle. We're getting tougher year by year with all the snow we keep having.
I know. The only thing I feel bad about, you know, we have guests in the studio today who've traveled here from Hawaii/Miami, and I feel very bad for Kevin. The weather's not exactly to his style, and of course Alvin, who's here with us today too, comes from that part of the country as well. But we're very excited. We've got a great show lineup for you today. Some real powerhouse entrepreneurial gentlemen in the studio with me. And we've just wrapped up our editorial for our upcoming March-April issue, which is very, very exciting music issue. Can't give away any secrets, but we've got some unbelievable musicians in the cover story who also give back to the community in special ways. And the cover story is just absolutely beautiful. We had a guest writer for this issue, Brett Love, well-known in the music industry. So it's pretty exciting, and I can't wait to debut it next week online as well as in Buckhead and Brookhaven on over 250. Stands.
Next week, it hits newsstands.
Next week, next Thursday, seeing copies.
Everybody be waiting in line out there in the distribution points.
Yeah, we may have it up online earlier, so keep checking in with us to see. And we found out last week we've had huge numbers on our website, which has been super exciting. I don't think we realized how fast we've been growing, but 25 to 35,000 hits monthly on our little magazine's website. Wow. Pretty darn good.
Yeah, it shows you how prominent Buckhead is.
Yeah, I think Buckhead is where it's at.
Yeah,
it really is.
Tune in to that website for sure.
They sure do. Well, without further ado, I'm going to introduce my guests and then we're going to start our interviews. First up today, I'm so thrilled to have Tony Conway, CEO and founder of Legendary Events. Welcome, Tony. So glad to have you here.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
Can't wait to chat with you about all of your recent travels. I know you've done some exciting stuff. Next up, we have Dr. Ray Gutierrez, the CEO and founder of Modern Emergent Care on Roswell Road here in Buckhead. Welcome to you today.
Thank you very much.
And I know that you're also a transplant like me, so we have that in common, and we've fallen in love with this market. So glad to have you here today. And we're going to start our interviews today with Kevin Aoki. Am I saying your name right, Kevin?
Yeah, Kevin Aoki.
Okay. And Kevin is the CEO of Aoki Group, but we're going to talk a little bit more about what that that actually entails, because he's quite a restaurateur and lots on his plate, and we're very excited to have his new endeavor, Doraku Sushi, here in Buckhead, Atlanta. So
thank you,
welcome,
Joanne.
Welcome. We know you traveled here yesterday, and as mentioned, from Miami, so I apologize again for our weather. I promise you it's a lot better than this most of the year.
I haven't seen snow for 3 years.
Well, I try not to see snow, but it seems like every time I go home to visit my family up in New England, they just don't get rid of it before I come. So I can't get away from it, but I can deal with it just a little bit during the year. Let's talk a little bit about where you come from. You're a veteran of the Japanese restaurant industry, and I love your background. Before I met you, I had read a little bit about you. Your entree to the business was at the knee of your dad, Rocky Aoki, who founded the world-famous Benihana restaurant chain. So what was that like growing up? I mean, you were literally around that environment in your childhood, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, I ate at a Benihana. One of my first experiences was in Key West.
Yeah, my father created Benihanas in 1964, and now there's over 120 Benihanas out there. We have actually three in the Atlanta market, so I know this market pretty well. He used to take me here all the time when I was a kid. But it's been pretty amazing being a son. I just watched him grow from one restaurant to open the second and third, and I worked with him for 20 years.
Wow.
From being a dishwasher all the way up to be a bartender, manager. And after he passed away, I left the company and started my own restaurant.
Okay. And so, you know, you're a graduate of New York University. Did you study business there so that you'd be able to continue in the restaurant industry? Or was your major in something else and you just found yourself back in the restaurant industry?
Well, I started out, I was an artist. I loved sculpting, using clay, welding, metals. And my father, you know, my second year in college, my father was like, hey, this is not making money. You're not going to be able to support yourself. So then I changed my degree to business. And after I graduated, I thought I can do everything. My father stuck me in the kitchen cleaning dishes. So that's where I started. And little by little, I grew up to be a manager. And then, you know, it's 25 years later, I own my own restaurants.
When you look back on that experience of him putting you in the dishwashing situation, do you realize that was probably a gift to make you understand how hard it is to be in the industry in general?
Oh, yeah. My dad was probably the hardest worker I've known. He would wake up at 7 and sleep at like 3 in the morning.
Wow.
So he, you know, I just watched him work his butt off. I mean, and he opened one restaurant and just he was there the whole time. Greeting all the customers, seating the customers. He did everything in the restaurant. So I've been watching that, and so I really appreciate hard work mm-hmm. and what it takes to really make something successful.
And you know all of the different skills that are involved in every job in the restaurant. I think that's the plus side of it, you know. I mean, I find that as a publisher, I appreciate every little detail, all the aspects of it, the editorial process, the creative process, and it's because you watched everything from a very young age.
Yeah, if you don't know how the server feels, or you don't know how the bartender feels, or the manager, you can't manage them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely something really important that my dad taught me.
So my favorite part of the whole Benihana experience is obviously the chef's display with the knives. Okay, that is fascinating, right? When they're doing the hibachi and knives are flying everywhere. So what did you think of that when you were a kid? I mean, how does that start? It must be an old art.
Well, in Japan, you know, teppanyaki is just cooking material on a steel grill. My father brought that concept and made it entertaining. And use American favorites, steak, chicken, and shrimp, simple ingredients, and then just made it entertainment. So what he did was amazing. It works in every market around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm, you know, amazed at what my father has done. My restaurant's a little bit different than my father's.
But, very much so.
Yeah, I worked for him for 20 years, and I watched, you know, I was, Benihana was in my blood. But I wanted to do something different. I wanted to do something more... more somewhere where I would hang out, a restaurant that's more casual, loungy, comfortable. So I created Duraku. I created that in South Beach in Florida in 1999, and now we have two in Florida, two in Hawaii, and our first one here in Atlanta.
Okay, so you just jumped into something. So I'm going to back up a little bit because I know that you, under your father's guidance, you launched some other successful Asian restaurant concepts. Was Duraku your first endeavor, or were there others prior to that?
While I was working for my dad, we put together Raw Sushi, and there's one Raw in this market. We put together a chain of restaurants in New York called Haru, and I think we have like 9 of them right now. But after my father passed away, my stepmother ended up selling the company to a hedge fund. And so we don't have anything to do with Benihana's anymore.
Okay. And same thing with Ra. Ra is part of that group that went to...
That went to Benihana's.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. That's good progression for us to know. And I know that part of your philosophy is Asian and holistic cuisine. So that's the concept that's here at Duraku?
Yeah. The idea is to look for the best ingredients, the most healthy ingredients, and serve them to our customers. Within my company, I have 4 concepts. I have this juicery. It's like a cold-pressed juice shop that focuses on raw foods, cold-pressed juices. It's called Blue Tree Cafe, and I'm opening in Hawaii. I have a teppanyaki restaurant, just like Benihana's in Miami, called Aoki. And it's like a countryside teppanyaki cooking. So when you walk in, you feel like you're in a countryside in Japan, like in Kyoto, walking through a little village. If you go to Benihana's, you'll see an open, like a room with a bunch of teppan tables. If you go into Aoki, they're all enclosed little rooms, like little houses that you walk through, like in an alley where there's teppan tables. And the food is more countryside. So we'll serve like, chicken heart to, you know, black pork to, you know, to things that are found in the countryside, more exotic vegetables. And here in Buckhead, we opened Ching Mu, which is like a Chinese noodle shop. And we're talking with local farmers, bringing all the local produce here. We're focusing on non-GMO, on vegetables. If you walk in, you'll see like a refrigerator of filled with different vegetables, like 25 different vegetables. So you pick out like a bamboo basket up, you select your vegetables. We hand pull the noodles in the back. The broth, it has no MSG in there. It's really healthy. And we just blanch the vegetables, put it on the put it inside the broth with the really fresh noodles, and it's one of the best noodles that I've had.
And you pick your protein too. So I saw that refrigerator. It's amazing. It's and the vegetables are not, you know, all the typical vegetables. They're oriental. They're unique. There's bamboo shoots. There's all kinds of unique things in that refrigerator. Am I right?
Yeah, we have like chrysanthemum leaves, bamboo shoots, all different types of mushrooms. The idea is to educate our consumers about the other vegetables out there that are really healthy and delicious.
I love it. I saw that the you had a very eclectic crowd coming in. We saw folks coming in from the residences at Buckhead Atlanta. We should mention the Duraku and Ching Mu are located right at Buckhead Atlanta. So it's a great location because you can be in there shopping and walk right over there. There's folks that are living literally almost right above you. And, you know, we saw folks come in the night that we dined there, and they came down for ordering their noodles and taking their dinner back up to their apartment. So it's a great mix. You're getting the shopping, dining experience customer, but you're also getting the people that live there, and it's convenient. Plus the businesses that are local in that area, they know they can just walk there. It's a great location.
Yeah, we're very excited to be there. Yeah. The developer, Oliver McMillan, invited me from, we did one project in Hawaii together, and he invited me to this project, but we are so excited to be here.
Well, we tried to get Dean on the show today. He's in town as well. We're going to talk about what's happening tomorrow night. But Dean's schedule wouldn't allow him to be here today. But we know that he's a huge fan of yours. So we're thrilled that he did invite you to come here. Tell me what Duraku means, because I'm assuming there has to be a meaning behind the word.
Duraku means the road to happiness.
Love it.
So the idea is you come there and you just kind of forget about all the problems you have in life, and you enjoy yourself with great food and drinks.
Well, the atmosphere there, I want to go to that, because when I first walked in and saw the place, I mean, there's so many aspects of the decor that are built in that are traditional. Many of the items come from the Far East. The wood, I know that is teak. I want to say, is that teak or mahogany? But it is beautiful.
We use a lot of different woods in there, but what the idea is to like really create a real experience. So my architect, Chris Smith, he's out of New York, and I went to Myanmar, Indonesia, China, Japan, and we kind of hand-selected every piece that's in that restaurant. And all the wood that's in there, if you look at the, we have a community table, we call it the happiness table. Mm-hmm. It fits 20 people. It's 20 feet long, and it's one slab of wood. The bar is all one slab, and that's made out of like lychee wood. But in that restaurant, there's like four different types of woods. There's lychee, there's teak, there's swar, there's merbau on the ground. I mean, it's just it's a very warm restaurant.
And the booths, they do remind me of the experience you just were talking about with the Teppan style, where you almost feel like when you slip into that booth that you're in your own little private room.
Yeah, the booths, we try to emulate like a Japanese tea house, where it's like wood slats that surround you. It's like a modern day Japanese tea house.
Well, behind the bar, let's tell the audience about what's behind the bar. What is that, those drums that are behind the bar? I know there's a story behind those.
Yeah, behind the bar we have about 20 different sake barrels, and those we've traveled through Japan, and we visited all the sake companies, the ones that we serve in the restaurant, and they've donated each of those barrels to us, and we mounted them on the wall. So that looks really nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful, and you do walk in, and it's a very comfortable atmosphere. I mean, the wood, I love hardwood myself. I like the you know, natural aspect of your decor. That's one thing that really got me when we came in. And those barrels were really beautiful. So it's nice to know that there's a real story behind them. They're not just something that was purchased at a, you know, mass market kind of a place, everything being hand chosen. That's very unique for the decor, and that you were actually there with the designer. That's very interesting. Now, so we know why you chose Atlanta. What is next for your group? Anything on the horizons we should know about?
Well, what we normally do is we have four different concepts. So we want to cluster our restaurants within each other. So we're hoping to bring, you know, our juice shop in here, and also our Aoki Teppanyaki.
Wow.
In this market.
Wow, that'd be great. That's very ambitious. And what's happening tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night is our grand opening. So, you know, it starts at 6 o'clock. We have a taiko drummer, which, you know, the traditional Japanese drummers when you walk in. We have a DJ spinning after 8 o'clock. We have all of our tasty delights passed around. It's going to be fun.
Is the DJ part of the normal routine on a weekend?
Not right now, but we might make it a part of it.
Okay.
My little brother's a big DJ.
Oh, very exciting. Is he here in Atlanta or is he somewhere else?
No, he's worldwide. His name is Stephen Aoki. But he's just amazing. He's blowing up.
Wow. Well, very exciting. I mean, we're very happy to have you here. Very happy for your success. And we're very much looking forward to being at your event tomorrow night. I have responded, yes, I will be there. How do our listeners find you? What's your website, Twitter handle, Facebook, all those good things?
You just go to dorakusushi.com and look under the locator section. You'll find the address of this restaurant. The restaurant's at the new development, Buckhead, Atlanta. I think it's right next to that steakhouse.
You're next to Capitol Grill.
Yes. Yeah.
And there is parking right in front of this restaurant. So you have no excuse for not being there. I have personally dined there. The food is fantastic. The service is incredible. The tea is awesome, by the way, the green tea. Lots of caffeine one afternoon while it was a little chilly out. We love this restaurant, and we wish you every success here in Buckhead, Atlanta, and we are looking forward to more great things from you here in Buckhead, I'm sure, in the future.
Thank you, Joanne.
So let's move on. Thank you so much, Kevin. And I want all of our listeners out there today, if you have any questions about Doraku Sushi while we're on the air, if you tweet them out to Buckhead Business Radio X, Ryan will pick them up. And at the end of the show, I think we can ask anything of Kevin if we have anything come through. So thank you again. My next guest is Dr. Ray Gutierrez, and very excited to have Dr. Ray. Personally, was not really sure what the concept was of his business, so I'm excited for him to be able to explain to our listeners today what makes modern emergent care different in the medical field. So before we get into modern emergent care, I know that Dr. Ray is the founder and CEO, and he's resident trained emergency medicine physician with 15 years of hospital-based ER experience. And I'm glad to have read what where the name modern emergent care came from. What was the word emergent? Was the combination of the two concepts? Am I correct?
Right.
So why don't you explain a little bit about that, you know, the combination of emergency and urgency?
We were classified as emergent care center by our malpractice insurance companies. 20 years ago, the only place to be able to get emergency care was in the emergency rooms. Recently, in the last 10, 15 years, you've had urgent care centers open up, and they're great for very minor stuff, sore throats, a cold, twisted ankle, something like that. They're great for that. But for the patients that were more sick, for example, someone who had abdominal pain, a bad migraine headache, chest pain, shortness of breath, the only place to seek health care for those patients is the emergency room. As an ER physician for the last 15 years, I was able to see firsthand the pros and the cons of what the emergency room offers. So about 4 years ago, a trend started coming up with emergent care centers, where we combine the urgent care services. We also combine the capabilities of the emergency room. And so we're proud to be the first one in Atlanta. We're able to do, again, both urgent care centers and emergency room services.
So it used to be that if somebody came in and they were at an urgent care facility and they're complaining of abdominal pain and you knew it was something beyond that scope. You had to send them to the ER anyways.
Right. Right. So if you had someone, and the reason is because of the capabilities, you typically would have a primary care doctor or an urgent care physician there, sometimes a mid-level. And if they had abdominal pain and they needed x-rays or blood work or a CAT scan, they couldn't do it at their facility. So you'd pay the bill there, and then they'd put you in an ambulance and send you to the hospital and get the workup over there. At our facility, we can do it all there.
So you can do the urgent and you can do the emergency room.
Right. We combine both.
So how does this work with insurance? Because obviously that's going to be a big question from our listeners. When you go to an urgent care facility, there's typically a copay, I would assume.
Yes.
How does that work if they're in an ER situation?
Well, there's different people have different types of insurances, and there's hundreds of them out there. In general, an urgent care copay is lower than the emergency room copay. And again, it depends on different ones. And so we our copays are typically similar to what the urgent care copays are as opposed to the emergency rooms. Sometimes we're kind of in the middle. Our copay is $95. Typical urgent care is about $50 to $60. Typical emergency rooms are $200, maybe $300.
So can somebody come in and they're in an emergency situation and surgery can be performed?
Yeah. Well, not with us. If you have appendicitis, we had a patient the other day had appendicitis, came in, he had abdominal pain, wasn't sure if he should come to us or go to the ER. And we had transparent pricing. I'll tell you about that a little bit more.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that.
And so he came in, we got the blood work, we got the CAT scan, he had appendicitis. I said, you know, you need to be admitted to the hospital to have surgery. Which hospital do you want to go to? He says, I want to go to this hospital. I called him up. There was a four-hour wait. I says, there's another hospital that has a two-hour wait, and another one had a 20-minute wait. So we called the one that had a 20-minute wait and spoke with the surgeon, and he says, no problem, send him here, we'll meet him in the OR.
Right. By the time he got there anyways in the vehicle, it was, you know, he'd get right in.
Right.
So, because when you're in an emergency room situation, if you go into the emergency room and you're admitted, there's a price that comes with that, and it's usually a flat rate of like $100 or $150 copay if they have to admit you. If they treat you and then you leave, there's a whole different set of circumstances.
Yes and no. And typically what happens when you go to the emergency room, 80%, actually I'm going to take it back, probably about 85 to 90% of the patients that go to the emergency room wind up going home. Hmm. 10 to 15% of the patients that go to the emergency room actually get admitted. We can handle probably 97% of the things that the emergency room can handle. So if you feel like you need to, you're going to stop breathing in 30 seconds, you shouldn't get in a car and drive to our facility. You should call 911, have an ambulance with a medic in the back seat with you, driving you in case you stop breathing to be able to help you. But if you can get in your car and you can drive to our facility, we can take care of it. And so a patient who comes into the ER would be, most of those patients wind up going home. And if you can go home, we can take care of that. If you need to be in the hospital, we can take care of that.
So let's talk about the transparent pricing thing that we started to bring up. I mean, one of the big things I'm sure with many, many people with health insurance and medical practice, you go somewhere, you get treated, and then all of a sudden you get this bill and you're like, what? $10 for a Tylenol? Talk about transparent pricing and how people should know up front.
Yeah. Healthcare is one of the few industries where you don't know what you're paying, what it's going to cost until after the treatment's been provided. So it's like going into a car dealership and saying, I want to buy a car, you take it home, and, oh, by the way, you owe us $150,000 as opposed to $30,000.
They must have picked a Maserati.
Right. So in healthcare, and there's multiple reasons why that happens, but we actually have transparent pricing. And so for patients that have high deductibles or don't have insurance, no one beats our price. In fact, you walk into our facility, say, I'm having abdominal pain, how much is it going to cost me? You scroll, you look at the list, it's going to cost this much. If you need this test, it would cost that much more. And we want people to compare prices because our prices are easily half, if not a third, of what the hospitals charge. So it's a nice thing. Pricing transparency in healthcare is a big, big buzzword right now. And we're cutting edge on that also. So
do you think that the industry is going to be forced to be more transparent about pricing? You are, obviously, but the industry as a whole, are they going to eventually be forced to be upfront about their pricing?
Yeah. Companies are out there right now businesses are out there seeking facilities that will make their prices transparent. because, again, what you want to do is you want to compare your surfaces. Obviously, if you're having a sore throat, you can compare three or four different places. If you have an abdominal pain, you can only compare your ER into places like us.
Mm-hmm.
And we want you to compare our prices. But eventually, I think, especially with all the change in healthcare, it's going to happen sooner than later.
It gives the patients better choices.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, we should be able to manage our care better. So, I mean, I know that that's a novel concept, the fact that you do have your pricing right up front. How about insurance? Do you deal with specific insurance companies? You have insurance coverage?
Yeah, we're in network with Medicare. We're out of network with most insurances. The only one right now who we don't accept is Medicaid. We accept it as a secondary to Medicare, but pretty much we're out of network with most insurances. What does that mean? That means if you come in and you see us at our facility, your insurance will pay you whatever percentage that's been agreed upon. The difference is that they will send you the check and not us the check. So what we'll do is we'll bill you, and you'll pay a certain percentage of your bill at that point, and then you'll get bills until your insurance pays you, and then you would pay us back at that point.
But the beauty is your pricing is better than an ER. And I think that's the one thing we've spoken about this personally, that people don't understand. It's very expensive and nothing is out there on the table for you to know. In your particular facility, everything is out there. You know what you're going to be charged when you walk in for service.
Right. We had an attorney the other day come in who had a $3,500 deductible on his insurance. And the average is about $3,000. And we saved him $2,300 compared to if he had gone to the ER. So our bill at our facility was $2,300 less than his facility. And our bill was about $1,400 for abdominal pain, CAT scan. At the hospital, he would have paid $2,300 more.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's a huge difference. It somehow doesn't seem fair. Can't get into any philosophical discussions about this.
Well, I think what happens... 20 years ago, let's just take a little history. 20 years ago, the only place to have surgery or have an x-ray or have lab work was at the hospitals. Since that time, we've had surgical centers open up. They're cheaper, faster, nicer. We've had outpatient diagnostic centers, same thing, cheaper, faster, nicer. Lab centers, same thing, cheaper, nicer, and faster. Same thing with us. We're an outpatient version of the emergency room.
Well, and with an emergency room, when you show up in an emergency room, you might be sitting waiting for an hour and a half just for somebody to take your paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
I would almost venture a guess that it's not nearly that kind of a wait time in a facility like yours. Are people able to call ahead and say, we're on our way?
Yeah.
Can they actually reserve the time as they're on their way to you?
Yep.
And there's enough intake. People... You know, I think what's going to happen is as people get to know who you are a little bit more, and by the way, Modern Emergent Care is one of our advertisers in our publication, as people understand and get to know that you are here in Buckhead, it will take traffic away from those long waiting lines in those ERs and put them in your door.
Yeah.
When they realize that they can walk in the door and be treated and not be sitting in a waiting room for an hour and a half in pain.
Yeah, we have our model is that every patient actually receives treatment within 20 minutes of arrival. If you are, you're right, you're able to reserve a room before you come in. Not that you have to, but we would like for you to call us and say, listen, I'm bringing my son in, or my daughter in, or my wife, and she's got a bad headache, or she's been throwing up, and I'd like to be there in 20 minutes. My name is Joe Smith. This is the date of birth. Okay, Mr. Smith, if you're here within 30 minutes, we're going to have you in room number 4. We have a policy of making sure that nobody waits more than 20 minutes. And the goal is to have treatment within 20 minutes. And because, you know, my thinking is if you go to McDonald's and the burger's cold, who cares? You go to someplace else. If you're not feeling well, you have the right to be treated efficiently and fast.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's faster than us.
Apparently not. 20 minutes, that's unheard of anywhere else. I could almost guarantee that. What other kinds of concierge services do you provide?
Couple things. We have a concierge entrance, so patients that are pre-registered or have been patients with us before can call us up and say, I want some additional confidentiality. I'd like to come in through the side entrance, not through the lobby. I don't want anyone seeing me. I'm not feeling well. I have my hair's not fixed up or something like that.
Who cares, though, if you're in pain?
right.
I just want help.
You know, we have other things. It's a very upscale, nice-looking facility. We have marble floors, quartz countertops, very modern, sleek, neat look, leather recliners, window seats. We have our results. Part of why we're so fast is we're not keeping patients there in the ER. I've worked in emergency rooms before where I'll see a patient, I'll put in orders for blood testing on him. An hour later, the blood work gets carried out. 3 hours later, he's still not gone to CAT scan. 5 hours later, I still don't have results, and he's there 6-7 hours. I walk into a room. The patient walks into the room. The nurse comes in with me. The CAT scan tech comes in with me. We all know exactly what's going to happen within 10 minutes of me walking out of that room. Everyone knows their job. They go do that job, and we get all the results within 2 hours.
I was just going to ask you next, what kind of diagnostic tools do you have right there in your facility?
Anything you would need in an emergency room, we have our CAT scans, we have ultrasounds, we have x-rays, we have access to MRIs, we have a comprehensive laboratory center, we can do cardiac monitoring, we can deliver babies.
Wow.
We don't want to, but you guys do all, women
Stranger
do all the work.
Stranger things
we
just have happened. Well, luckily you're not doing it out in the middle of the highway somewhere where somebody's had to pull off to the side of the road. Let me go back to the MRI situation. That's close by to where you are. And blood work, you said you have your own lab right in there?
Yeah, we have a diagnostic center. So actually patients can come in and says, my doctor wants me to have this blood test or he wants me to have this x-ray. The nice thing about us, different than the other diagnostic centers in the area, is you don't need an appointment. If you need basic x-rays, CAT scans, ultrasounds, you can pretty much come in and get those tests done almost right away. Some of the tests, some of the MRIs, sometimes I'll have to schedule it in a day in advance, and sometimes ultrasounds after hours we'd have to schedule in a day in advance. But for the most part, almost every test, including blood work, you don't need an appointment for. The other difference between us and the other laboratory diagnostic centers is that if you want, your doctor wants you to get some blood work, and you go to their centers, they'll draw your blood, and 2 or 3 days later you get the results. 90% of our tests you get back within 2 hours.
Yeah, that's super fast. I know that from my own experience. Sometimes it's week.
Right.
Longer.
Right.
So that's pretty fantastic. How did you end up in Atlanta? I know you're not from here originally. It's New Jersey, right?
Right.
So how was your journey to Atlanta?
I got recruited to work in a hospital in South Georgia about 8-9 years ago. And long story short, God put this in my heart a couple of years ago, and I started working on it at the hospital that was at, and this is not uncommon in most hospitals, there's a non-compete clause where the hospitals don't want you to compete with them. It's understandable. And so when we were looking at opening this facility up with myself and my other partners, all ER physicians, we had to be a distance of 50 miles or more from that facility. So what we did was we looked at areas in Atlanta, and Buckhead and Sandy Springs area was a very nice area. There's some great hospitals, great ERs, but then there's some needs. And we addressed two major needs. For 70% of the population, we saved them money. And for 100% of the population, we saved them time and we provide a better service.
And this is definitely a growing population. We've talked a lot in the last few months about this particular area, and I'm sure, Kevin, this is a great point of why you chose this area. Obviously, your relationship with Dean, but it's such a growing market, and the demographics here have changed so much. It's a younger demographic, and I think younger people are taking better care of themselves and more concern about their health. And it's helping a lot of different kinds of businesses. If you look at the amount of apartments and complexes that have moved into this area and that are either in construction or having been built since 2012, it's over 10,000 units, housing units. And that demographic of our market has changed dramatically to where a larger chunk of it is 20 to 39 years old. And, an emergency room, an urgent care facility, it's not just, 65-year-old men having a heart attack. It's as you said, it's appendicitis. There's a number of things that can happen, and it's young and old. So you're serving a growing population that I think is just going to continue to grow over the next 5 years here in Buckhead. So you chose a great area. How do our listeners find you? First of all, your actual street address and social media. Are you guys active on social media?
Yeah, we're on 5505 Roswell Road. We're right across the street from the Prado in Sandy Springs, just inside the perimeter. We are on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn. You can find us on our website, modernemergentcare.com.
Twitter handle?
I don't know.
I know we have it here somewhere. Ryan, do we have that?
Yes, we do. We have their Twitter handle would be at modern_emergent. So you can find them there on Twitter. So
okay, terrific. We know that they were retweeting us today, so you must have somebody good doing your social media, the essential person in your company. Do you have one of those, Kevin?
Yes, it's Drak Kusushi.
And you have somebody doing your social media also, right? Because yes. We noticed that they were retweeting us today, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're on it right now.
Oh, good, good, good. Well, we love that. We're very, very social media savvy. I'm glad to know that all the gentlemen in the room today are social media savvy. Thank you so much, Dr. Gutierrez. I know that our listeners appreciate hearing what you do here in Buckhead and the difference. And yes, you're right. We have many fine hospitals here, but when you are in need and you don't want to be waiting in line, this is definitely a wonderful alternative, modern emergent care. Thank you again, Dr. Gutierrez.
Thank you.
So we're moving on to Tony Conway, and I'm so excited to have Tony. We just had a wonderful, wonderful party. Tony, your team, top-notch. That's all I can say.
Thank you, Joanne.
We haven't stopped talking about it. Sandy Horgan is phenomenal, and she had Ansley working with her.
Yeah, a little village behind her,
oh,
yes.
My goodness. They say it takes a village to raise a child. I think it takes a village to put on an event.
That is for sure, yes.
So tell us a little bit about what you've been doing the last few weeks. I think there's been some really exciting things going on.
Yes, well, in Atlanta, we've been quite busy. I'm so excited. The year starting off about 28% above what 2014 was, and that's our best year in our 18-year history. So I'm hoping that means everyone's entertaining and enjoying life and celebrating. So we're off to a great start. A team of us are just returning from L.A., doing a few pre-Oscar parties, which were fun. It was interesting being out there at 75 and 80 degree weather and then flying back at 21 degree weather.
But the heavens unloaded, though, on that red carpet that night. So I saw that
yes,
there was some
rain
there.
Yes, I was gone by then. So fortunately, we didn't have any of that. We were the week before, but had a great time in L.A. doing Tyler Perry's parties out there at his home. So it was great.
Fantastic. I'm going to talk a little bit about your background before we move into some of our interview questions, but I know that you launched Legendary Events in 1997 after 20 years in the hotel industry with Stouffer, Marriott, and Ritz-Carlton, obviously very well-established brands. And you've grown into an award-winning full-service special events company, including catering, floral, and design. And we are going to talk about that as well, because I was really impressed with what I know about how things come together to put these events together. And I learned a lot doing this big event, and it's great to have a team behind you doing it. And it really took the pressure off me as the publisher. I was able to, you know, let the folks working with us work out all the details and just kind of waltz in and enjoy the party without any stress whatsoever.
As it should be, yes.
I know, I know. I've never done it that way. I'm so used to doing things myself that it was a new experience letting somebody else do it. But Legendary Events as a whole, you've recently been through a great brand refresh. The name is slightly different, so maybe you can talk first about the new logo, the website, social media, and the change of name. And
sure. It's actually, we're back to our original name. We started the company as Legendary Events, and after about 5 or 6 years, when we were doing things alphabetically in our world, you know, phone books and things like that, which are no longer around, we had decided, you know, we would be a legendary event. So we put an A in front of the name and put us at the top of the alphabet. So that's really why we changed the name. I have a colleague in town who's great, also has a first name of Tony. And so put my name on the brand, and so it was Tony Conway, a legendary event. We did that for about 16, 17 years, and like our events, we just felt it needed to have a little bit of a refreshing look to it. So we went back to our roots, Legendary Events, added the Flourish logo on it, and it's been really well received. So we're back to Legendary Events, never really left it. It's always been our name, but that's what we are now.
Well, I knew there was a story behind that, and my thought process, I'm thinking, well, gee, it was a legendary event. Now they're doing multiple events, so it has to be legendary events, plural.
Right. No. It was really back in those days just getting at the head of the alphabet, you know, our business kind of tactics out there. So.
And now it's more about search engine optimization.
Totally is.
Right? So
Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, all of that is what our business is all about. So,
well, and you've built your brand. I know that your Twitter handle is a legendary event, but it's really hard. You can't really change that once you're
it
in
is.
Flow.
Once you're in it, you're in it, and you don't change that
one. Do
you
use a personal Twitter handle as well, or the company is really?
The company is really it. I have a personal one that I use occasionally. Don't give that out much.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't even use it. I have one and I don't even use it because
I can't keep up. Yeah, no, first of all, I would never get to it. So
no, and you know, I hate to say it, when I first launched the magazine, I thought I would do my own social media forever. I was like, oh, I'm going to do it because I'm having so much fun. And you know, I'm out here at all these fun things and events, and I thought I would be so happy doing it. And it just got to be where I couldn't keep up. You cannot drive and tweet at the same time.
Or you would put the wrong thing on there, I do quite often. And I'm constantly reminded by my social media team, you know, let us do that for you. Just tell us what you want and you're not posting the wrong things.
Yes. And spell check is a crazy thing sometimes. Totally. So I completely get that. And, you know, in Atlanta, Tony is known for producing many, many of Atlanta's high-end galas, corporate parties, society weddings. What are some of the most recent events in Atlanta that you've done the design and decor for or catered? And what are some of the events you might have coming up?
Wow. You know, after 18 years, people always ask what's the most exciting and what you've been doing and whatever. You know, we have our events that we've fortunately been partners with for 16, 17 years, Meals on Wheels, Shepherd's Legendary Party, Symphony Ball, things like that. So all of those out there, just to name a few of those. Getting ready for the new season to start, which will come up. Getting ready for Cure, which mm-hmm. I love.
Oh, the Believe Ball?
Believe Ball
Fantastic.
Is great. Very excited about being a part of that and helping them with that. But excuse me. But for us, it's just as exciting to be doing Mrs. Jones' work or mm-hmm. The dinner party for 10 or, you know, 10,000 for Microsoft when they'll be here. So all of those really are all great for us. What we do like about the galas and the nonprofits is we feel like we get to give a little bit back. And so we get very involved in those.
Well, I'd like to talk a little bit about the synchronization of all of the aspects. I know you didn't start out with all of the aspects, but mm-hmm. now that you have floral in-house, I mean, what you did for our party was masterful. We were talking about it a little bit before the show, and Sandy had wanted to bring in, our theme was black and white. And we didn't really have an accent color because we had just redone some of our materials.
Hard to find those
black
flowers, isn't it?
Yes, very, very hard to find those. But she wanted to find those anemones with the black centers. Right. And we were told 2 days before the event that those flowers were just not in season and they weren't going to be available. I mean, everything got tied in by that one little flower, which was what she wanted to tie that whole party together with, that one little flower. And it just showed how dramatic it is to have all those elements together for you to work with.
Absolutely. And, you know, I remember I was in LA during that time and on a site inspection, and we also we were doing black and white in LA. So you're right on target, Joanne, with your theme of your party. We were
Thank
doing
you.
It in LA, you were doing it here. And Sandy and Gina, our floral director, sent me a note and said, we need anemones. We just can't find them. And I said, well, you know, call our growers in Colombia. I need about 50,000 of them. You need about 5,000 of them. Why don't we do a couple of orders? And in 2 days, they were here. So what's great about our business is our partners. You know, knowing our partners around the world who support what we do and we've worked out pricing with, we can make that happen and whatever. Anytime a client asks us for something, and they can ask us something Friday for Sunday for 500 people, you know, it's about those partnerships. And we've really worked hard in building partners that understand that that's what we're about. exceeding those clients' expectations and their wishes to make their events happy. So,
and you've also built a storehouse. So from what I'm told, you have this monstrous warehouse. I mean, you don't have to go out and rent anything from other companies because you have it all now. Am I right about this?
Well, we have quite a bit in that 55,000 square foot showroom. It's more than I ever wanted to own. I fight with my team all the time about, do we really need this? But we tried to do that so that we could offer better pricing for our clients and bring items in and whatever. What's interesting now is so many things change. So we're finding things weekly changing. So again, back to those partners, we are still renting. We are still bringing things in from other places, but we've got a nice base in our little warehouse area over there where we make our magic. So yeah, come over and see us sometimes.
I definitely want to see that because I've heard so much about it, and it is a place I have not seen. Now, I want to talk about a place that I have seen, and I've actually been at several events there, and you were kind enough also to allow me to use that space as I was having a video done for my Buckhead Business Award, The Estate.
Sure.
So
the
that's
oldest
new,
home
the
in
oldest
Atlanta.
Home.
Yes, it was built in 1797. Pardon me. It was built in 1797 and moved here in 1963 and was brought here as a restaurant. I was listening to Kevin's stories. I'm not in the restaurant business. I'm in restaurants a lot, but I love to hear the stories. And it was interesting that they took this home apart brick by brick, plank by plank, et cetera, moved it here and built it. Justine's brought it in from the Memphis family. And then sold it to Anthony's, and it was Anthony's restaurant. That's what everyone knows it by. Mm-hmm. We constantly are referring to the old Anthony's. Someday that name will pass on, I'm hoping, in the estate after this radio show.
Well, kind of fitting, though. Your name is Tony.
Right. No Anthony with
There's
it.
There's no Anthony,
No Anthony with it. But yeah, so the estate is great. It's a little gem right in the heart of Buckhead, sitting on 3 acres, about 14,000 square feet. Has become... probably the most popular, a wedding venue for us, booked every Saturday right now through March of 2016 for weddings. It's interesting that people are booking weddings that far in advance, but they do, and planning them. And
well, if they don't book your space that early, they won't get your space.
That's true. That's true. And then what's nice is the corporate business that has filled in between there. It's a great corporate retreat. You drive up that pea gravel line driveway and come into the old Southern Mansion, which has a very contemporary collection of art and furnishings in there. It was a great sort of collaboration between the Mitchell Gold friends of mine and the Bill Lowe Art Gallery. So we have sort of the yin and yang of old and new in there. It's been a really great place for events.
I think that's actually been a great place for Bill as well. He's sold quite a bit of art through your estate.
I didn't do that commission structure with Bill.
You should have done that. What's next for you? Is there something new that you have in the works? I'm pretty sure I saw a little blurb come by my desk. What's going on next?
You know, I never like to talk about those things until they're really reality, but it has been out there in the news. So it's our new venue, which will also be in Buckhead. We are looking at creating the largest event space in Buckhead. It will be called Flourish. It's on Piedmont. We'll use a Maple Drive entrance, we hope. And we'll be home to lots of galas, weddings, corporate events, doing Simply Buckhead's 10th anniversary
Yes. I'm not sure if I'm going to be ready for another party for 5 more years. They were literally twisting my arm to get me to do it, but we knew we had to do it this time around. This was a big one, and it definitely came off as a legendary event for sure.
Oh, thank you.
People are still talking about it. What makes people continue to come back to you year after year? Because I know that there are celebrities you work with that call on you time and time again, and I know it's not just local. It's across the country. You do quite a bit of travel.
We do. We're fortunate. You mentioned it takes a village. I have a team that is so passionate about the event business. And, our clients are amazing. First of all, they put us in front of, like you, 400 potential customers. Mm-hmm. It's the best advertising for us. So it's our product right in front of the possible new customer. So we're only as good as the last event. And that's how we always think about it. Our customers are just our partners or our friends, and we want them to have a great time. But again, what can we reap from that, and that's our business. And it's 70% of referral from being at an event. So we want to make sure that we really do a great job. Sure, we have occasions where something might not go wrong, so how do we change that? We're a people business. We're a pretty business. It has to be hot. It has to be cold. Mm-hmm. You know, unlike many of my celebrity friends where they can say, cut, let's try it again. You know, we're live just like you are here.
Yes.
We just keep going. And so many times we're, you know, we're a group that are making some decisions on the spot to change it, make it better, et cetera. So I have a great team. I couldn't do anything without this team that I have. So,
well, I'm going to take a guess. Everybody in this room, all three of you, can probably say the same thing. No 2 days are ever alike. And what you do for one event or one party or one meal or one treatment is never going to be the same as another one. And somebody may say, I went to such and such an event and I liked how you did that. I want to do exactly the same thing. But you never do it exactly the same.
You know, you don't
ever do it
the same. You know, you do want there to be that element of surprise. Mm-hmm. And there's something that needs to be special for them. So you try to dig that out of the conversation and listen to your client of what that is. But it's why I've done this for a number of years. We didn't need to do the math on all of that that you mentioned earlier. But I wake up loving going
18,
to do what
20.
I do. Yeah, Joanne, really, seriously. So yeah, for 30-something years, every day, every event is different. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's what makes it really exciting for us.
I have to go back to, you know, looking at all three of you that are here in the studio, and everybody is very passionate about what they do. And I think if you have that passion and that creativity, you know, we had Steve DeFilippo. I always go back and quote this, but Steve's comment is always that if you're doing what you're passionate about, you'll never work a day in your life. And when you're doing what you're passionate about, it's easy to keep the intensity and the love of what you do. And I think that's how we've all grown as business people and will continue to grow. And if you have that philosophy every day of your life, it's always going to be fun and exciting and different when you roll out of bed. You never know what to expect. At least that's what I always say. I never knew who I'm going to meet, never know what's going to happen, never know who I may end up, you know, sitting at a table with at an event. And it definitely makes life very, very interesting. So keep up the great work.
For sure. Thank you.
So tell our audience how they can find you. I know you know all your social media tags.
I do have that cheat sheet. I was afraid there, Ray. I wasn't quite sure. But our website, legendaryevents.com, Twitter, A Legendary Event, and Facebook's A Legendary Event, and Instagram is Legendary Events.
So, and as we finish out the specific interviews, you guys may find some synergy or some questions that you want to ask each other. Is there anything that came up over the course of any of these interviews that has piqued your curiosity about somebody else's business here?
Well, I will say that, Ray, I was really glad to hear about emergent care. As a company, you know, of 250 employees just here in Atlanta. Glad to know about what you're doing. I think that's great. I made a note to let our HR person know, because for us as well, we're on the road all the time. So to be able to call, put it in our files to our team that's out there, you know, that you're out there and available, I think that's really great.
Yeah, for sure. As a local business, actually, that would work for you guys too, because you never know. Somebody's working in a kitchen. You never know what happens.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to serve sushi at your events.
I would love for you to.
There you go.
Tom, just let me know, and we'll start that up. We have some great sushi chefs that work with us. It's not what we as a company do, and I do like to work with authentic. So I think this will be great, Kevin, and I look forward to chatting with you on that.
Excellent.
Kevin, I know that sushi obviously is your specialty. You're a sushi restaurant. What other things are specialties in your restaurant?
Well, we have a lot of grilled items. So we're all about like creating inventive dishes. So you might come in and have like a Japanese dish that has some other Chinese influence to it. So our steaks are really good too as well. But generally we want to bring the freshest fish and serve the best sushi here in Atlanta.
Well, there you go. There's a great connection for the two of you to have.
Absolutely.
How about you, Ryan?
Well, yeah, for Kevin, you mentioned some of the sushi rolls you have. Do you guys have a signature roll that you put together?
Yeah, we have the Duraku roll is amazing.
What's
in
that
one? Crab meat. It's got the eel on top.
Okay.
It's just handcrafted, and it's a great dish.
Yeah, so definitely have to try that out. And then back to Dr. Gutierrez, I was wondering, you can't do it alone, so you've got amazing support staff over there. You know, how many folks do you have working there? What are your hours there at the clinic?
I have five other ER physician partners working with me, and there's someone there every day. Mm-hmm. Part of the way we're fast is if we start seeing more patients than one doctor can handle, there's a call policy to call another physician. Again, the goal is nobody to wait more than 20 minutes. So our hours are typically 9 to 9 Monday through Friday. Monday through Saturday. The goal is to be open 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Sunday, 7 days a week. If you show up at 8:55 p.m., we'll stay there until you're ready to go home or until you need to be in the hospital.
That's good, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are there, you know how things can be seasonal. Are there seasonal times for you, or are there like times during the week that you find are seasonal? Like when there's all kinds of kids sports activities going on a weekend, are Saturdays crazy because there's all these sports things going on?
Well, I think there's different days. You get different types of patients. On Mondays, we'll get a lot of the elderly patients because they try to get to their doctors. They couldn't get to their doctors by Friday, and so by Monday they couldn't make it, and so they wind up coming in. But you're right, on the weekends we'll get a lot of the athletes and the 45-year-old dads that pulled something when they were running mm-hmm. and hadn't run like that in a while.
Trying to keep up with their football high school student.
Exactly. So, yeah, we have a nice mix.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And one for you, Tony, would be, since you've been doing this for a while, what, if you could say, maybe one of the most unusual requests you've had for one of your events, and were you able to pull it through at the last minute?
You know, there's always so many unusual events, and Ryan, let's not dwell on how long I've been doing it. You keep talking about that age.
I keep telling people, though, I'm always the oldest person in the room, so I'm not fooled
I
by you over there.
I don't know that you are, Joanne, but you know, it was fun. It was fun. You know, just most recently, our client said in L.A., I would like to have a church on my property to do a church service. And so we built a church, the church for about an hour, and then we tore it down.
Is that right?
So, you know, you never know if you can dream it, we can do it, is what we try to say. So,
yeah, when I was thinking of the question, I was thinking of maybe somebody wants an elephant at their party or something crazy like that. You can provide anything and everything for
sure.
Clients. Party needs, I guess.
Absolutely.
That's great.
You know, we're always kind of cautious and making sure we're staying within the laws of what we can do. almost anything you want, we can do.
Boy, full service event planning. There it is for
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Well, the ones I always think about are, you know, when you see these parties and there's tigers walking around, like, there's got to be some law that says you can't have these wild animals walking around somebody's mm-hmm. property. Mm-hmm. In and out of all these like guests who do not know how to handle these animals.
Right. Well, you know, the film world has helped us a lot, especially here now in Georgia, has brought a lot more resources. That all of those kinds of things happen. We use that in California and New York and some of those areas. Now, quite often in Georgia, we find almost anything because of the film world, which is also using it in films, et cetera. So, yes, those tigers in the parties do happen. Mm-hmm. We work heavily with PETA and with handlers and all those kinds of things, so we're doing the right things. Like I said, you got to do it correctly, make sure it's all done right. You also want the safety. Putting animals sometimes in places where it's not normal for them, loud music, et cetera, mm-hmm. is not my thing. So, you know, we kind of talk through those things as well.
Yeah, that can be a little frightening for the guests.
So no elephants at the next Simply Buckhead party.
I don't know. I don't know that I do a lion or a tiger, but you never know, right, Tony? Right.
He can make it happen.
Correct. You know, that theme, who knows what her theme's going
to
be next.
Yeah, I know. So. I think we'll have to be, like, you know, really cutting edge different. 10 years, long time, a lot mm-hmm. of great covers in there.
I think we should just mix 8 right in there.
I know. They'll trust me. They'll be all over me in October asking me if I want to do it again.
Do it yearly.
They're all pushing me, but you never know. I have to think about that one. But we had a great time at this party. We raised a lot of money for Cure. We have same common bond there. We've been sponsoring them for 3 years. We will be at the Believe Ball. We're actually one of the Believer sponsors this year.
Oh, awesome. That's great.
As well as their media sponsor, of course.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Great organization. Love working with them.
Excellent.
So thank you all for being here today. Really appreciate everybody's business insight and experience, and nice to see the interaction. I think the three of you gentlemen will be in contact with each other, which we always appreciate. We're an unabashedly pro-business radio show. It's what we're all about, and we like to foster the interaction between the businesses that appear on our radio show. So thank you again today.
Thank
Great
you.
Show. And
thank you very much.
We'll see you all next week.
Thanks for having us.